A new broom sweeps clean. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. A new broom sweeps clean. Ah, yes. How often we've heard something like that. A new broom sweeps clean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does it mean to have a new broom that sweeps clean? Well, a new broom that sweeps clean means that when a new person comes into an activity, they come into the activity with all sorts of ideas. Now, as with our President Obama, he was elected to be a new broom. He was not elected to be an old broom. He was not elected to status quo. He was not elected to easy go. He was elected to sort of shake things up and start a new direction for the government and the people. And that's what the people want. Now, the biggest thing that is beneficial about a new broom is what kind of muscle is behind it. What kind of muscle is behind a new broom? If a new broom has good muscle behind it, it will sweep clean. It'll get in the corners and it'll get out all the dirt and dust and all of the things that are supposed to be removed and clean it up really nice. However, if the new broom has a wimp behind it, then the new broom is not even going to be picked up. They'll let somebody else do it. Well, it appears that the United States is in for a little cleaning up. And I'm sure that the fallout from Chernobyl was nothing like the fallout that we're going to have from Obama. I think Obama is going to go into his office, as he has already, and he's going to say, these are areas that I have the right to make decisions, and I'm going to make decisions. I do not agree with some decisions that were made previously, not that they were right or wrong, but these are my points of view, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into my office because, number one, I like myself, and number two, if you don't like me, that's your problem. I like myself. And I'm going to do the things that I think are right. Now, do you think that if you cry hard enough that you might get attention from him? And the answer is no. If you have a logical or reasonable condition that needs to be met, and his office has to meet it, he will observe it. But he will not observe a lot of nitpicking, and he will not observe, as Sylvia has said, he will receive 500-word emails in his office and acknowledge them. But if you are knocking somebody else or belittling somebody else or putting somebody else down, he won't even read the missive, because that's not what he wants in his mind. He wants things that are supportive of the government, supportive of the people, supportive of the United States. Not that anything is going to be a walkover and that people are going to walk on top of anybody else, but they're going to support this and support it. Now, you and I can each take advantage from that point of view and look at our own life. Now, are you a moaner and groaner, or are you a doer? Are you a person who likes to bitch about the way things are in the world, or are you the person who likes to get in there and silently do the work and get it done and have it be done so perfectly that nobody even realized that it hadn't been done in the first place? Now, that's an art. That's a real art. And it's an art that I would say many people use, and many people don't know that it's being used, because they don't even realize that it's happening. They don't even realize that this artist is doing wonderful things and doing it beautifully. Now, there are subtleties that can be used also, and these are derogatory, And these subtleties can oftentimes be a put-down on other people and on projects, and we don't know where it's come from. All we know is that there's an objection. So now, if in our own life, instead of ever working on objections, we work on conjectures, we work on conjectures on what is it that we'd like to see done, what is it that we'd like to have done. Oh, did you know that he didn't sweep the front stairs very well? Did you know that they didn't vacuum the house very nicely? And, oh, that's just what you really want to hear, isn't it? But if you go in there and you find the front steps are not swept nicely to your satisfaction, or that the house is not vacuumed to your satisfaction, you just go out there and get a broom, or the vacuum cleaner, or whatever it is, and vacuum up everything out in the front steps and clean everything up and make it look very nice. Don't say a thing. Don't tell the person who's supposed to have done it, "Now I done it for you," because you did it for yourself. And then go in the house, and if there's an area that needs to be vacuumed, send the person on an errand so they don't see you doing it. Tell them, "Here's $1.50, here's $2, here's $10, go out and buy some ice cream for us, you know. I feel like a nice time for ice cream right now." And, "Oh boy, good, sure. Yeah, go ahead, you take my car and drive over and get it." So when they're gone, the 5 minutes that they're gone, you take the vacuum cleaner and you finish the work that hadn't been finished, and then you neatly wind up the cord, which wasn't wound up, it was just thrown in the closet with the vacuum cleaner. Put the cord on the vacuum cleaner properly, and then you stick it in the closet in a nice way, in the corner, standing up, not laying down. And then you take a dust cloth and you go around with as much time as you have and clean up whatever you can, especially the most noticeable things. And then when your friend comes back with the ice cream, say, "Great, let's celebrate. You know, you did such a nice job. You made everything so beautiful. I'm so proud of you, you know." And the person knows they didn't do a good job. And they look around and they see that, I wonder how it got so clean, you know. And they're smart enough not to open their mouth. And they're smart enough not to say anything about it. But the next time it's their turn to do it, they'll do a good job because they know that that's what's expected of them and that the person who expects it of them is not going to give them a hard time. And you see, this is true for all of us. We all know what's expected of us. We all know what is to be done. We all know. I'm working on a thesis from Nigeria right now for Ellen. And in the thesis, the fellow says, "Owls always come to our house, and owls always come to my house. Owls always come to my house. And when an owl comes to my house, that means that a child is going to die. And that means that this bad is going to happen. But I decided that I'm going to tell the owl, 'You go away. I don't want you here. And you go somewhere else and do something else.' Well, I made a slight change in it. I made the change to say, one day an owl came to my house, and what it's supposed to mean is that a child is going to die. But I said to the owl, 'Mr. Owl, I like you. Go away.'" He said this in there, but it was said in such a way that it got lost. "Go away, and I love you, and I wish only the best for you." Now, that shortened that paragraph considerably. It brought out the idea that he wanted powerfully, and it left out all of the negativity that was unnecessary and belittling to what he was talking about. But you see, he was so much in the problem, so much in the condition, so much in the circumstance, that he is like many people, including you guys. He feels he's got to tell everything. He's got to tell it just like it was. Just like it happened, and just like the experience took place. Instead of saying, "There was an experience, and I changed my mind about it, and I put a new cause in motion, and everything came out fine." That's what you really want to say. You don't want to get into the garbage and explain how the garbage happens and works and what it does, because all you're doing is giving the garbage more power. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to give garbage power. We want to give power to the truth and to beneficial things. Well, I think that if And we don't have to look too closely. I think if we just keep an eye open on what happens with the Obama program, we'll see wonderful things. Now, I think the administration of George Bush II, was not the administration of George Bush. It was the administration of a lot of advisors who were ill-advising him. And he followed that poor advice and made trouble for himself and for the country. And previous presidents who had equal problems, they followed the advice of their advisors. Hey, we know what we're talking about. We're studying this here. You haven't studied it. Hey, tell me what you have done. Tell me your thinking, and then I'll make my decision. And my decision may be 100% opposite to what you have come up with, because now I see it with a different point of view. I see it with a sound point of view from my own indwelling awareness, and that's what you have me here as president for. Not to just be a yes man to my yes man, my dollar a year geniuses that I've taken from all of the great areas of life to come and advise me. I want your advice on what, from the standard point of view, is the way to look at this or that or the other thing, based upon what logic would bring. And then I will go like God and be illogical. Now, he can't say that to them because they wouldn't understand it. But you understand it. And this is what it's all about. And this is what I'm all about. And this is what we're all about. And if we can learn from this experience, let it be that we have learned that whatever seems to be the right way to do it probably isn't. And the right way to do it is a way that you, after your rationale, after your logic, after your solid reasoning, you sit quietly for just a second and you say, I feel this is the way we should do it. It seems wrong, it seems illogical, but I feel this way, and go and do it, and it's the right thing. Now, why is it the right thing? Because it's not based upon all of the appearances and the illusions that have brought it to the state where it is now. And that's what we want to do. We want to leave the appearances, the illusions, leave all those things aside, and enter into only the reality of what it is that we're talking about. And what we're talking about is what is for our highest and best. What would let us be ourselves, and let us have fun while we're doing it? And you say, wow, hey, man, that's not so cool. That's not so cool. Because what's being yourself is oftentimes more demanding than not being yourself, being somebody else or following what somebody else wants. And having fun, my goodness, that's more demanding than you can ever understand, because it means that it hurts none, takes from none, and it's good for everybody. And that's really something. Well, think on these things and let your absolute philosopher come up with the truth for you and realize that nothing else really matters except that you be yourself and have fun. Nothing else really matters except that you listen within. Nothing else really matters except that you get yourself a new broom for your new job and do a good job sweeping up. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.